The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lures of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, beloved of God, grace and peace. Amen. So if I had my druthers, we'd be doing an I Wonder, I Notice sermon today. That's the one where I read the scripture slowly, very slowly, and you interrupt me after a word or maybe after a phrase using a sentence that begins, "I wonder, dot, dot, dot," or "I notice, dot, dot, dot." Some of you experienced that some weeks back. Like I said, if I had my druthers, we'd do that. But it doesn't work quite as well with parables. It doesn't work quite as well at all with parables. And our gospel today is indeed a parable. It is the parable of the sower and the seed. Wondering and noticing, that structure, it's best for action stories. Jesus calming the sea, or the friends lowering the man through the roof, trusting that Jesus is the one who will do the healing. That said, promise me that you won't turn off your creative juices or your imaginative engagement with this particular story, this particular parable. And I promise, from my side, and I wonder, I notice sermon sometime soon, very, very soon, interruptions and conversations and all. I am in the mood for wondering and noticing. In the meantime, I notice two very different perspectives in our gospel. Grab your bulletin, make sure you got it out, check that out. There's Jesus' first take. A sower went out to sow. And as he freely scatters that seed, this is what happens. Some falls here, and some falls there, and some thrives lush and green, and some shrivels in the hot sun. And then there's the second section. It picks up a few verses later. All explanation. Did you sense that transition in the reading that I shared with you today? Did you hear that transition happen? It was almost like they started over, but they started over in the explanation mood instead. If you were taking notes, shorthand, you'd have little notes like hearing and understanding equals good soil. Kind of nice, huh? Kind of nice. And you might even be a little giddy, for Jesus' parables with their ordinary images are notoriously tricky, meant to disturb us. And finally, it's as if we're getting a little bit of a crib sheet, albeit heavy-handed, I would say, and it seems to lay everything out nice and easy. In the first, it's about a sower, free, ridiculously generous, scattering seed here and there, trusting and hopeful. And in the second section, it's about the soil quality. It's about the believer's heart, reminding me of that song in our worship book, "Lord, let my heart be good soil." Did you ever notice that that is a song, but it's also a prayer? God, let my heart be good soil. Let my heart be good soil. Back in the 1960s, a German New Testament scholar named Joachim Jeremias dug into the literary styles of many of Jesus' parables, this parable included. And he changed the way that we understand all parables, but this one in particular. Jeremiah suspects that the parable itself, the first part, the beginning verses, that those are original, the words, the promises, really, of Jesus. But then he goes on. Most likely the second part, the scholars say, is an explanation. That's what it sounded like to me. Maybe it sounded that way to you as well. It's an explanation. It's added. It's added when the gospel writer was trying to encourage this community so many years later that's struggling with its faith. Now, technically, I should pick one or the other of these angles and preach that. I should talk about the abundance of God or the sower, or I should talk about the encouragement to us to be the good soil. One or the other. That's how we're taught to preach about this text. But instead, I'm going to live on the edge. I'm just going to lift up both. And mark my words, this is where it all goes off the rails. It's just going to go crazy here. This is what happens when you come back from 3.5 weeks away in Ireland and Northern Ireland and Scotland. We get a little risky. We get a little edgy. We can't quite get our family sleeping on the right schedule. Last night was better, but not quite. And oh my, we can hear both the promises of God and the encouragement for our souls. Both, both. And the truth is, well rested or not, we need them both. We need promise and we need encouragement. We need them both. So during this time of vacation and continuing education, we spent a full week on the little island, or they would say the wee island, called Iona. It's part of the Inner Hebrides. It's off the west coast of Scotland. So you go to Glasgow, and then you go to Oban, and then you take a ferry to Mull, the island of Mull, and you take a bus across Mull. It's a pretty big island. And finally, you take another ferry to the island of Iona. Back in the year 563, St. Columba landed on those shores of Iona and began a monastery. 563. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? 563. And pilgrims came and went, and so did the Vikings, and so did history. And in the 1200s, the Benedictines established a presence on that same site as Columba's first Celtic monastery. Beautiful land, gorgeous land, and green hills and sheep, lots of sheep. And the blue sea almost always in sight around the perimeter. Pilgrims came and went. Pilgrims and more pilgrims. They came to the abbey. They came to the abbey, to this holy land, to pray and to worship. And then in the 1930s, it became an ecumenical community focused on justice and on hospitality, founded by an inner-city Glasgow pastor named George MacLeod. And still now, today, there are pilgrims like us in that thin space, that space between heaven and earth where they come close. So one of the best conversations I had that week with a friend who spoke of feeling dry, spiritually dry. We were literally on a day-long off-road pilgrimage, walking spot to spot, stopping along the 7-mile route to learn some history, perhaps to sing or read scripture or pray or reflect. It was a highlight of the week for many of us. And tromping over boulder fields and through meadows and up and down crags and over this spongy peat moss bog, the soil was quite literally under our feet, and the soil quality was right there too. This parable was in my ear. We talked of the desire for meaningful work, and for depth and joy in relationships, what it feels like to go to church when it connects and when it doesn't connect. We talked about that yearning for community, for spiritual community, and the pull of prayer, even as the pull of family and obligations seem so overwhelming. God, let my soul, my heart, be good soil. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting how living honestly and living faithfully in drier times can create an environment to again be that good soil? Those conversations and the ones that followed with others were sustaining. They were recreating. Grant us patience, God. Grant us patience to trust your seed, your soil, our pilgrimage, day by day, sometimes drier, sometimes good soil, to trust that you are the one with the seed and you are the one with the soil. That, dear friends, that is the encouragement I hear in the scripture, a trust, a quiet hope, and a thin space. I also hear this persistent sower, the sound of her feet moving in all kinds of soil, a quiet drop of seed skittering over rocks, coming to rest finally in a crevice, landing almost silently in the rich, dark earth. Seed is expensive. Now and then, seed expensive. And maybe this sower, she's been collecting it from last year's bounty. Either way, it's valuable, and it's hard won. And instead of gripping it possessively, frugally, counting out seed by seed, she scatters it. Here and there and everywhere. Is that trust that lets her scatter it so freely? Is it hope? Is it reckless abandon? Is it pure divine wisdom? Is it love? Great love that holds the seed just long enough to touch them with grace and then scatter them afar, trusting there is enough even when the world seems always, always to need more, to want more. That's the sower we have. Enough, 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 enough for our God to share with patient mercy. Enough for us, each of us, to practice God's ways, God's ridiculously generous ways. Enough for this hungry and hurting world. That, dear friends, that's the promise. That's the promise I hear in this scripture. An overwhelmingly generous God who loves us and loves this world and won't give up nor run out, again sustaining and recreating. A saving God who sees us, as fertile ground full of possibility enough, even when we might think otherwise. This week, I invite you to take some time to wonder and notice in the spirit of this parable. First, reconnect. Reconnect with yourself. Notice how your soil is doing. What encouragement do you need? And share that with somebody. Somebody that you trust. Hear what they have to say as you share honestly. How is your soil doing? What encouragement do you need? That's my first thought. And my second is, in these long summer days, tune yourself again to God's generous seeds of grace, scattered in all the unexpected and surprising places of our life and our world. And wonder, wonder at the miracle of grace and its bounty, active even in you and in me. Enough, enough. Thanks be to God. There is enough. Amen.